We're back on with Mike Markovich, Director of Delta County Search and Rescue. Thank you for giving us a little more time today, Mike.
Oh, no problem.
Well, let's talk a little bit more ice safety. We just went through some general rules for ice safety and some tools that every fisherman should carry with them. I want to focus specifically now on Little Bay to Knock because that is a very unique spot. It's a very unique body of water, being that it's a part of the Great Lakes, but it does freeze up a lot of machine and vehicle traffic on it. And I'm sure that you could provide us with just some guidance to avoid certain spots year to year on Little Bay to Knock.
That's right, yeah. Little Bay to Knock is unique. We've got a lot of rivers that come into the head of the bay. And all of that water that's coming in via those rivers has to get out somehow. So that water is constantly moving from the head of the bay out into the main part of the lake. That being said, all of the river mouths, be it the Days River, Rapid River, the Whitefish, and the Sturgeon River, you know, they're all going to open up and have thin ice areas where they do meet the lake. Other areas of concern, as that water is moving out around an area called Saunders Point, which is a peninsula that goes out into the bay at the end of Gladstone. And that area is actually where we go and train, because regardless of what the air temperatures are, the ice always seems to form much, much thinner there. We've seen vehicles that are driving along and drive right into that open water spot because you don't expect it to be wide open, especially if it's late in the year. Other areas of concern, any pressure cracks, are potential areas where it's not safe. Also places that have real dark bottom or dark rocks, those dark places hold heat from the sun for longer, so the ice doesn't form as thick there. Another big concern is when the icebreakers come through, of course everyone can see where that's happened because the icebreaker leaves a trail of ice, but what you don't see is that there's a void that's created and then another sheet of ice can break off and fill that void. Well, that place where it broke off can create an opening that you may or may not see because it may have glazed over with ice, dusted over with snow, and it may only be half an inch thick. It could hit that spot and go under as well. Also down as it gets later in the year from Portage Point on south, the ice sheet can certainly break off and start floating. We had a couple of gentlemen that ended up going for a little ride, and they were about a half mile out into the lake by the time we... got the hovercraft out to them to get them off that ice sheet. So there are a lot of areas of concern. And again, if something does happen, we'd be happy to take that phone call, and we'll send plenty of rescuers out to come get you. So don't be afraid to call.
You know, one of the things you bring up is I remember stories about Saginaw Bay downstate where huge, huge sheets would break off and start floating out into Lake Huron. And there were four-wheelers and lots of gear. None of that stuff goes with the fishermen when you get rescued, right?
That's right. Hovercraft, if that's what we're taking out to do the rescue, can carry the operator and one passenger, so there's no room for any four-wheelers or ice shanties or anything like that on it.
Yeah, so you're taking a chance if you're going into areas like that. Just another reason to be extra careful. Let's talk about Saunders Point and then the area south of Portage Point. Are those really where you see the biggest problems on the lake?
It seems to be. I think between Saunders Point and then the mouth of the Days River is where we see the majority of calls. Also, another area is Butler's Island, which is in off of Kipling. The area seems to hold some heat as well and form some pressure cracks, and we do see a lot of people going through the ice there, and I think that might have to do with just the location as well, because that's where most of the traffic does go onto the lake.
Yeah, I didn't realize the mouth of the Days River was such a sketchy spot as well. I mean, obviously any river mouth, but that one in particular, you get a lot of calls, huh?
Yeah, and I think it's because that part of the bay seems to form ice a lot earlier than, you know, say the mouth of the Escanaba River, so people tend to venture out a little bit early in that area.
So going south then, Portage Point, that's the one I always hear people asking other fishermen to show extreme caution. It seems like, you know, those pressure cracks open and close a lot down there because the ice moves.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That area, it might be frozen, you know, in the Escanaba area, but as soon as you get south where it opens up into Green Bay, that might be wide open, and there's just so much of a void there that the ice sheet can shift out very quickly.
Well, Mike, I really appreciate you kind of sharing these hot spots with us around Little Bay Dinock and just general ice safety. And hopefully, you know, maybe we can help folks keep from getting wet and cold and potentially something worse. So thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Adam. And don't be afraid to call if you do go through the ice. We never charge for our services. We're a volunteer agency, and we're happy to help.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. There's no charge if you happen to go through the ice and you have to call search and rescue. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
That's right.
At least in Delta County, anyway.
Yes.
Mike Markovich, Director of Delta County Search and Rescue, giving us some ice safety tips right here on The Outdoor Show.